Blog Talk Radio.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen.
I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
Hello, folks. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as sharing general information, stories, support, encouragement, and just, just talking on different ideas and different thoughts and different aspects surrounding barefooting and as barefooters and like the overall barefooting journey. I definitely see there's a lot more to barefooting than, you know, most people think. I mean, just like there's really a lot more to everything than, you know, most people think.
Especially if you're not a particularly a part of that group or organization.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, you're lazy.
True, but that's not my barefoot.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think some people get this misconception or idea that it's like, oh, you know, some people just don't wear shoes because they're lazy, and it's like barefooting takes a lot of hard work. Like, it really does.
You
have to pay more attention
to everything than typically speaking.
And that's something I haven't even actually really thought of in a while, like how much hard work it really is. Like,
yeah.
Because it's just something that I've...
You just start doing it. But, like, to start out, generally, but you're still... You got to be more hyper-vigilant of, like, what you're stepping in, what's on the ground, where you are, you know, then if you've got, like... It's funny, when I went on that hike, I was on the night, I could see how people are just, like, tracing, going so fast, and they were missing so much. Because, you know, I was like able, you know, I had to, not just have, you know, able to, but I had to slow down a bit to be able to, you know, not kill myself in the dark in the woods.
And this is the night hike.
Yeah.
That was like, okay.
It was a couple weeks ago.
Okay, you're good. Sorry, I remember us talking about it before on one of the last shows. My brain is currently scrambled eggs.
It's
been an intense time lately. I won't talk too much on the astrology today or anything. What?
You should do that.
I don't even think. I introduced Barefoot is Legal, but no, I don't think I introduced people.
People.
I don't know.
I love you.
That's kind of everything I'm having. For those of you that I know are new,
carry on.
I am Phoenix, and I'm still in here with Audrey. As we do,
we're having a radio. Yeah. Anybody who's like held out, I would like to apologize for starting so late today. Today got away from me, and I got here late. So. But here we are now. It's going to be okay. We're going to have a rockin' show. It'll be all good.
And I definitely feel like, you know, we're in a very intense time on so many levels. Like, even astrologically speaking, there's a lot constantly going on. I had content that I actually had prepared. I just haven't been able to post. I've personally been struggling a lot with, just being neurodivergent. You know, I barefoot pretty much all the time now, you know, which is awesome and great, you know, and, like, barefooting, it is helping me. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It is something that's actively helping me. But, you know, I think one of the frustrating realities of being neurodivergent is, like, there's just not enough accessibility to accommodations, different things, as somebody, you know, trying to pursue higher education, you know, there's a lot of things going on with that, you know, with being neurodivergent and on so many levels for so many different people. And,
yeah.
You know, just the being perceived with social media, like, I don't know. Like, these are things that, like, they are hard, and, like, I just kind of, like, do what, you know, like, I need to do, like, my body needs to do, and, like, what my headspace needs and my heart space needs, like, whatever different parts of me need, like, I really try to, like, focus on that, you know, because that's how we live our lives, like, fully and authentically, and that's, you know, how we have some kind of sense of joy or meaning, you know, as well as just basic necessities. Even people forget when you start listening to, like, your mind, your body, your heart, space, whatever facet of your being that is, you know, maybe acting up, but it's really calling out for, like, hey, take care of me, pay attention to me, like, you know what I mean? There's a reason why things are happening within us and within parts of us, like, you know, because our emotions and our, you know, mentality or, like, mindset or, like, our heart space versus head space, like, those aren't always the same thing, you know?
Right.
We can have a mental prison and then we can have, you know, emotions, you know? Everything does kind of overlap. You know, like, there are little gray zones within, you know, our existence all the time where different parts of us overlap, you know, like mind, body, heart, soul, connection, whatever.
Yeah.
But, here, my throat is the drowning take a drink real quick.
There's different aspects to everything, and to try and imply that there aren't is ignorance.
And so, you know, barefooting is something that helps a lot of different people on different levels, whether that's their mental health, whether it's a mental illness or being neurodivergent. And unfortunately, though, too, since, you know, our society is not set up for neurodivergent people, that can lead to some, like, you know, like, ostracization, which can be extreme at times, of course, and it can lead to, like, you know, poor mental health in the sense of, like, oh, you know, like, anxiety and depression. But people don't realize that, like, when you're neurodivergent, like, your nervous system regulation is just so much more crucial. I mean, nervous system regulation is important for everyone.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I've kind of always believed that, as long as I've been in the position academically, like, have that opinion, if that makes any sense. So then I think I took my first college psych class in high school. So it's been a while, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know exactly, you know, and, I'm not sure to say, but there are just a lot of almost like attacks on our nervous system.
Yeah.
You know, daily or consistently, or sometimes it feels constantly. And I know for myself, like, and it's like, I'm fine, you know, I'm sharing on this because I know this is, like, a real issue that, like, not even just me is experiencing. Like, I'm learning to accept, and I have been learning to accept for a while, like, what is my body capable of? What is my, you know, head space capable of? What is my heart space capable of? And how does that apply to other people as well?
Right. So what helps make it better? Yeah. And so, you know, I've had to realize that I do have a lot more social limitations than other people. I have a lot more sensory limitations than other people. I have a lot more physical limitations than other people. I have a lot more emotional limitations than other people, but at the same time, I've realized that I probably have less mental limitations than other people, despite the fact that I do also have more, because in the sense that, like, you know me, I'm always talking, and I think, like, my neurodivergency is part of why, you know, like, I'm wired to be so creative and inquisitive and, you know, or questioning and, you know, curious, of course.
Which leads you to greater knowledge and greater intellect.
Yeah, and but at the same time, it can very well be, you know, a real disability at different times for different people in different ways.
Well, because 9 times out of 10, our hyper-focused and our super inquisitiveness is not what we're supposed to be currently inquisitive and focused on, inquisitive about or focused on. It's random stuff that pops in our brain that we're like, oh, how is that? Why is that? What's that?
Yeah. And
they're like, for example, the other day I was talking about, I went on a tangent about a certain lesson at school, and then I got into how I like to go hiking and yada, yada, yada about me, you know, going on. And my boss looks at me and goes, yes, but I'm talking about this training. You are. You know what I mean? But it's like,
yeah.
But
it's hard because sometimes it's like, you know, the whatever.
Got to follow the yellow brick road and
yeah,
doesn't always lead to Oz.
Yeah. So like, no, and I get it. It's like sometimes too, it's like you're, think of like, I don't know, like your brain. This might be not the best analogy, but, you know, we'll work with it because again, my neurodivergent brain may butcher it.
Just science.
But what I'm saying is, like, think of, like, your mind like a train car and you're on the tracks. And, you know, like, oh, there's another train coming. So, like, halt the brakes, stop. It's a little ding, 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 ding. Like, whatever. You know what I'm talking about, guys. I don't know.
Mine's like 8,000 trains coming together and all the
Yeah, and that can be a good example of it. You know, it's like 8,000 trains, and they all fill drunk.
Yeah.
And we're completely sober.
Zero sense into the current context.
Yeah.
That's where we're going.
Well, and I actually do have an experience to talk on in a second, because it does tie into being both neurodivergent and barefoot, and how people need to stop assuming that neurodivergent barefoot people are just automatically on drugs. Please stop making assumptions, dear
God.
For real.
No,
like,
100%.
To wrap up on the past current thought real quick, you know, like, there can be, being neurodivergent looks very different for a lot of people, you know, and I've been having to accept what my mental limitations look like while using my neurodivergency, like learning how to work with it and then work against it.
Or let it work against me, you know?
Yeah, like, how can I, because it's like, if I'm ultimately working against my neurodivergency, I'm actively working against myself.
Yeah.
And when you're actively working against yourself, like, good luck reaching your goal, right? But it's the same thing even with being a barefooter. You know, if I'm, like, gonna, you know, say, because, like, okay, a lot of people also barefoot for their physical health. Audrey and I both barefoot for our physical health as well. And so, you know, if I'm not going to barefoot for my physical health, like, I'm setting up my physical body for failure as well. Mm. Like, we got to do what we got to do to set us up for success. And whatever we don't do to set us up for success, we're ultimately setting us up for failure.
Yeah.
And we also have a misconception of what success and building and foundation and stability looks like. Because let's be honest, as a global collective, have we ever really seen it? Probably not. And that's not even me being, like, depressing or, we're all
negative
screwed.
Fancy.
Like, to a degree, yeah, that might
coffee.
Be true. But nobody is entirely screwed at the same time. You know what I mean? It's only when we make that conscious choice of, I don't care about myself and I don't care about other people. But if we all were to collectively and consciously start focusing on our health, and at first, focusing on your health and focusing on your body, even that
can be made out to be like a false attempt at individuality that can easily become corrupt into, you know, selfishness or, you know, like narcissism, egocentricism. And, you know, because a lot of people have a misconception on what it even actually means to listen to yourself, listen to your body, listen to your needs. That some people just start being driven by insatiable hunger to consume more than they're actually driven by their real adequate needs. And sometimes people will go more for the hunger consuming than they're having their actual needs met. And unfortunately, we're in kind of a natural cycle for this. You know, there's a lot of generational trauma. There's a lot of trauma within this country that hasn't been addressed among different demographics and people. And that's, you know, not to pick fights, but if anything, like, we need unity. Like, we need to come together and have conversations on respect and boundaries and how we can actually move past the damages done.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that we have to start, you know, working past the damages done is by connecting to our bodies. And, you know, I've had a lot of realizations lately that, you know, when we connect to our bodies, like, authentically, we are automatically connecting to the earth, whether or not you're a barefooter.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, the best nutrition for us comes from the earth in some way. You know, like, it's hard because it's like, there's so much pollution and there's so much greed and there's so much, you know, pain in the world. And it all overlaps. I mean, the way that we pollute Mother Earth is the same way that people have hurt each other's, other people's communities, you know, land, rights, you know, so many different things throughout history. It's the way that we abuse the Earth, especially corporations, are the same way that people have been abused, the same way that we have all these human rights issues that haven't been fully addressed. And, like, I just encourage people to really just start listening to their body. And barefooting is a huge part of that. But when we really start listening to our bodies and coming back to the earth, like, that is how we heal society. Like, obviously, it's not like, oh, overnight, magic,
yeah.
You know.
Right. I mean, I
could
not but
it's, like, it is a process for sure. Like,
yeah.
But am I at least making sense?
Yeah,
so, okay. Because I've just been realizing a lot of how if we had basic respect and autonomy for the earth, we probably have that for each other. If we had that for each other, we probably have it for the earth. So it's kind of like this, all these factors going back and forth, right?
Yeah.
And so if you are somebody that's like, oh, my God, this world is horrible and I hate it, brought me to... you know, but there's also a lot of love already here. So how can we expand that?
You find what you expect to find.
Yeah. And I like what you said, because like that kind of, you know, makes me look at even what I was kind of thinking in a little bit of a different way. But you find what you expect to find, because like I was thinking like, you know, there's already a lot of love here. How can we expand upon that? And to me, the answer is, start by finding that within yourself. Like, start by finding that and establishing that within yourself. You know, like, and remember, though, too, that anger isn't also an emotion that serves a purpose. But, the shadow or dark side of anger is aggression, you know, or, you know, even cruelness or cruelty. But the higher, side of anger is realizing what things should and should not be tolerated. It's setting boundaries.
Yeah.
It's setting limitations. There's a reason to love yourself and respect yourself and to build yourself up. And that's because, you know, as, you know, humans, like, we all deserve that, and that is something that is really important. But at the same time, like, you know, boundaries exist for a reason, because some people, you know, do not make the right choices and do not make safe, loving choices.
Yeah.
So, like, set your boundaries with people with the outside world. Like, you know, I've been really wanting to get back into, you know, posting. I've been working on a lot of stuff while I've been in, like, my hibernation, but every time I
you know, overdo it. I also end up having so much stuff in my life on top of it that I have to actually be present for and focus on and put first, that it really, yeah, that it can be really a struggle. And so it's like every time I overdo it, I'm always reminded, like, this isn't sustainable. Yeah. This isn't stable. Like, and I'm like, in all the things I've worked on and all the things that I am working on that I can, you know, like information to release, stuff with either astrology or, you know, barefooting, other things like that. And I'm like, okay, but like when I release it and when it's time to share this, like it will be ready. You know what I mean? Like giving yourself a deadline that isn't actually a necessary deadline all the time is more harmful than it is good for neurodivergent people. Like, and I've had to realize that, like, you know, just making way for, like, my mind and my body and just every other part of me to just
cooperate
and be in alignment and, like, listening to them. What are you trying to tell me, body? What are you trying to tell me, mind? What are you trying to tell me, heart? Like,
right.
Because our emotions, our thoughts, the signals from our bodies, pain, things like that, like, those are signals and signs from our body, like, and other aspects of our being that, like, hey, something's not right here. And remember, like, life's a lesson.
Yeah.
So
life's a lesson.
Definitely, you know, put your needs first. And I think, again, like, back to, like, the kind of, like, how narcissism and false individuality come into play. I think the people have a misconception of what it means to put your needs first.
Right.
You know, even too, because we think that that's selfish. But if if barefooting is something that helps me, which it is and it does, you know, and I'm, you know, I got a choice here. So I can, you know, barefoot and do something that's, like, good for me and helping me, or I can worry about the attitude of a store clerk that the only reason why I care about at the end of the day is because they're a living, breathing human being and I believe in empathy and compassion. Other than that, they don't mean and have any power in my life.
Right.
And again, even that is power that I, as a sign, but at the same time, I hope everybody assigns that, you know, some kind of, you know, care towards others through empathy, regardless of the situation, because if we also had that, we wouldn't have issues with people just being, that's something I'm trying to call you. Okay. Sorry, I didn't know if it was held or put us on hold or if they could still hear us or not, but.
No.
Okay. But, like, they're.
They'll put this call, the radio show on hold and then.
Well, that's what I meant. I was gonna say
call
was in the radio show. Sorry, we got a call on here. It was something unrelated. Yeah, it's the reason Audrey's phone. For real though, and I being neurodivergent, that was even tiring.
Yeah.
Like, little side thought, because I'm just like, my brain. But at the end of the day, it's like, why should we listen to every single person's opinion and thought in our bodies? You know, like, people have got the wrong priorities a lot of the time in mind when it comes to worrying about what other people are doing, you know? So as long as you're not hurting anyone, you know, as long as you're not, you know, infringing upon anybody's rights or freedom or liberty, or I know those are kind of the same thing, but you know what I mean? It's like they still have their own distinctions. And just their general well-being and their right to have well-being on any level that is, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual, or in some way you just personally can't understand, whatever. As long as it's not causing any harm or violation of autonomy or anything on any other person, who cares? Like, we need to become in a society that lives in equilibrium of respecting each other's needs and boundaries.
Yeah.
Because when we don't respect each other's needs and boundaries and have that flow of equilibrium, that's when individualism becomes corrupt. You know what I mean? It's because I don't respect your boundaries. But, you know, if...
That's just saying I don't respect you.
And it's hard because I think... And yes and no. You know? Because there's two... Because some of it is just people don't care, they don't respect, right? But one thing I've realized is we just... As a society, like, we haven't really had a good conversation on boundaries, consent even, what is healthy dynamic, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like we haven't really fully had the right authentic conversations as, you know, like, a general public on these things that, you know, a lot of the times we can end up hurting other people and violating other people's autonomy on some level, and we don't even realize it. Because I'll be honest, like, in the past, like, that is something that I've, you know, been guilty of, is just not, unfortunately, respecting people's boundaries and not even realizing it. Because, you know, like, the things I wasn't, you know, like, taught, basically.
Right.
And, you know, I have a friend who is in the process of getting her daughter diagnosed with autism, and, you know, she's around 5-6 years old. And one thing that she said to me, because I was talking, and it actually ended up helping me with feeling, because I didn't realize how much I just, you know, was misunderstanding people at times. But one of the things that my friend had told me that a therapist for her daughter had told her was that a lot of the time, in autism, not saying anything is looked at as consent. And that could be for anything, you know, because consent is for anything.
Yeah.
And so I started thinking of all the times where, like, you know, I opened up to people even, you know, just way too much. And then later it's like people make you feel crap about it, or they use it as something to talk to you about, but because they were quiet and, like, they seemed like they wanted to listen, like, you thought, like, oh, this is a safe place to talk about these things, or, oh, like, this person is okay with me talking about it, like, I'm not too much for them. But sometimes that can actually be the opposite, because the other thing that I've had to realize too is, even though, like, you know, when you are the person, like, kind of picking up on the silence, and, you know, like, you can, and as an autistic person, like, you can sometimes see that as, like, okay, like, if there's a problem, like, they're going to say something. If there's a problem, if they need me to, like, if they're like, please, I can't do this right now, like, whatever that is, like, they're going to, you know, like, stop me, you know what I mean? Or just tell me no, or just be straight up with me, like, you know. You
don't count people being quiet to be polite, you think it's okay.
Yeah, and also, I think a lot of us are neurodivergent people, and I think especially so with autism, because our... Because a lot of times people with ADHD miss social cues, it's not impossible for them to, like, understand them or to pick up on them. And, like, it's more so of, like, the issue is, I can't remember how to explain this better. Like, the issue is they're, people with ADHD get, you know, it's not that they can't understand or, like, intuitively and naturally pick up on social cues and understand them. It's just that, like, they can't pay attention to them because there's demands of other external stimuli or internal stimuli that kind of, like, divert the attention. Obviously, it's a real issue, but, you know, with autism, like, it's a lot of these things don't naturally make sense to us. Like, we have to learn them. It's not in the same way for, like, ADHD people, because if we're so logical-based that we think that if there's a problem, someone will say something. If something's good enough, someone will say something. Like, we just assume that people don't need to be asked anything because they'll just tell us, because a lot of times it's bad enough for us, we will. But then at the same time, but when we're uncomfortable, a lot of us can either get aggressive or shut down, and that can be misinterpreted. Like, I know for myself, when I'm uncomfortable or feel attacked, like, I can get a lot more, and not really so much recently, but, like, in the past, like, you know, when I was younger and stuff like that, you know, even in my teen years, that, like, you know, I can get a lot more aggressive than other people may naturally get in those situations, because, you know, my missing of social cues, I don't know where the line is going to be. Also, somebody with PTSD, that doesn't help. But, you know, that's also its own little thing, of course. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people, you know, like myself, that do have both PTSD and autism. And that, I think, is why I'm so like, listen to yourself, man, listen to yourself, because I've had to do a lot for my physical health, my spiritual health, my emotional health, my mental health, being neurodivergent, like, you know, and barefooting has helped with all of those things,
yeah.
You know, regardless of what people might actually believe, it has. And I've made a lot of sense of myself even through barefooting because of the way that it helped bring me back into my body.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, like, I do have, you know, and it's like, you know, and it's fine. Like, I'm not worried about it. Like, whatever. I don't want people to pity or anything. But, like, you know, I do struggle a lot with dissociation, not feeling like I'm even here. Like, it's kind of, like, slipping through the cracks between timelines, as I refer to it as. Like, you know,
yeah.
Because that is a part of PTSD, and I may not show it the way that other people do, especially someone who's autism, because we do show it very differently most of the time. And, you know, understanding that what that's like, and even for me, like, I can be having a full-blown conversation and be intellectual, go, 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 and still, like, mentally, but still on some level, mentally, emotionally, and physically, like, I'm not fully present. Like, I don't even feel real, or I don't feel like I'm in my body. Like, I'm just talking. And
yeah.
Then I'm like, oh, wow, like, you're so you. I'm like, I don't even know what's real right now. I'm just saying what's in my head that I have to talk about. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I
refer to the short circuit between my brain and my mouth. Like, I'm just as surprised as everybody got what's coming up right now.
And part of that is just a neurodivergent experience, but then definitely adding in, like, the PTSD thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely add to that. And I don't want to talk too much on this, but, like, because I don't, you know, it's not like I want people to be like, oh, my God, I feel so sorry for you or anything. Like, whatever. Like, you know, unfortunately, like, a lot of people, you know, go through a lot of crap, and I know that there are people that have it worse than I do. And I know people can be like, oh, well, you know, yeah, but you could have it worse than other people, too. Yeah, and that's true to some degrees, whatever. But, like, there's really no point in, you know, getting caught up in comparing or crying about it unless you actually need to cry about it. And that's not me shaming people. But what I've learned is, like, sometimes you just got to, like, accept things. And that doesn't mean allow yourself to suffer. Like, you know what I mean? Because you don't deserve suffering. But sometimes you just have to, you do have to come to a place to be able to accept that things happen. So that way you can, because, you know,
yeah.
Does that make any sense? Because that's the big thing I've had to realize is that, like, you know, like, sometimes after these things happen, the suffering continues. But you're the thing that's going to emancipate you. You're the thing that's going to set you free. Nobody else can set you free from your trauma, your demons, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And it's hard, you know, but, like, barefooting has really helped me. Like, and that's, you know, why I'm talking about this is because it may sound crazy to people, like, oh, being barefoot helps with your PTSD. Like, that makes sense. Yeah, it does. I feel more in touch in my body again. Like, you know, for a lot of us.
Real.
Yeah, like, you feel real. For a lot of people that have issues with dissociating and, like, feeling like you just, like, stepped out of your body, like, it allows you to just be in touch with, you know, your natural flow on so many different levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, studies are now being released, there's a lot of information now being released on how we feel our emotions in our bodies before we understand them cognitively. Before we are consciously aware of them, our bodies are already experiencing the physiological responses.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like, and also, too, for my health issues, having full range of mobility, you know, as somebody with autism, you know, it's a sensory issue wearing shoes, and doesn't really help. And, like, you know, I was talking about before, it is hard because, like, sensory issues, you know, are more than people understand. So, like, barefooting obviously does have its limitations. It does. Like, it, you know, because, yeah, like Audrey just said, everything does, you know? Like, barefooting definitely does have, you know, its limitations on what it can help with sensory issues, but that's because not all sensory issues have anything to do with your feet. Like, there are so many other parts of our bodies that can constantly feel irritated all the time, you know? And so, you know, there may be, like, if I've got a tag on the back of my shirt that's driving me crazy, which I never... And that's the funny thing is, like realizing that I've always shown like very, like even more so some of the stereotypical signs of autism even before mm-hmm. like starting my diagnosis process as an adult. But I never would have thought it was. And even when people brought up like ADHD or autism, I was like, I don't know. Especially autism, I was like, I don't know about that. Like, you know, because I had my own misconceptions of it, which is why I want to talk about it and educate people. But like, it's frustrating because there are things that can be happening, can be bothering us, and we're not even aware of it because of the executive function issue.
Yeah.
You know, and so like, if I've got a tag, you know, bothering the back of my shirt, and sometimes I may not know why, and I can be scratching my back, picking at my skin, going crazy, wanting to rip my shirt off because it's so uncomfortable, and I'm, you know, irritating my skin. And, you know, being barefoot will help in the sense that, you know, if I was wearing shoes, yeah, I'd probably end up having a full-on meltdown and, like, crying and, like, freaking out over my sensory issues, like, being like, oh, my God, I can't do this, you know? And so, yes, the barefooting helps, but that doesn't mean it doesn't feel like you've got something gnawing at your back the whole time when you've got sensory issues like that. It doesn't mean that it's completely cured. So, like, I definitely think that barefooting helps a lot. I say as an autistic person with emotional regulation because, like, you know, I'm listening to my body, and I feel like barefooting has helped me listen to my body better and understanding my physical, like, needs even because, you know, a lot of us, that's a part of our executive function issue is our brains aren't telling us when we're hungry, when we need to go to the bathroom even, like, when to do the most basic stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's just, it's just, that's a part of the executive function issue, you know?
Yeah.
So I definitely feel like barefooting has really helped, you know, me, like, to step back into my body and become more aware of what my body actually needs and, you know, what it wants as well and understanding the difference between needing and wanting. And because I've seen people with, like, the qualifications and, like, psych and, you know, with talking on, like, you know, who are also neurodivergent or, like, talking on, like, neurodivergent needs and stuff like that and making them met. And so they're talking about how, like, a certain, like, what you want can be a part of what you need, but it can still be negotiable. And sometimes as neurodivergent people, we sometimes have a hard time communicating our needs. So, you know,
because we don't know what we need.
Yeah. And so, and I could be, you know, in an overstimulated state or like post meltdown. And I could be me and my partner. And I'm like, I need to watch show A because it will help me in this moment. And he's like, you know, oh, I don't really want to watch that right now. Like, you know, I want to watch, you know, show B or whatever. And, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, and the option is we could just go into different rooms. We, you know, we have two different TVs. It's fine. But like, you know, or we could, you know, but then it's like, oh, but I still want to spend time with you. You know what I mean? So, and especially
the headphones,
you know,
watching their own phones and fit in the same room.
So, you know, like, finding ways where it's like, okay, like, I'll watch something on my phone, or we can both watch something on our phones, or, like, you know, like, or sometimes, like, too, like, because sometimes even, like, holding my phone, because sometimes when I go into these states, like, I literally, like, even just holding my phone, like, I go into semi-catatonic states a lot of the time, and it's things that people don't see, and, you know, people don't see how severe it really can be at times, and it's like, it does suck. And, I mean, so, like, I could have it up on the TV where I'm just, like, laying there trying to get my nervous system back together, and he's, you know, watching something with, like, earbuds on his phone by me or whatever. And, like, I do have ranges. Cause, you know, because I know for me, with, like, my autism, I can range from when meltdown states to being, like, oh, like, I need you to, like, hug me and hold me. And other times it's, like, I need you the same room as me, but you need to be, like, 5 feet away from me. Minimum distance of safety at this point in my mind, you know? And so, like, again, I want to spend time with you, but I can't. So it's, like, you can need these things but not be able to have it, like, the way you want it. But the original example I was also going to try to use, before you brought that up, because that was also, like, an idea I thought of, like, oh, that does relate, is addressing that for me, the reason why I feel like I may need to watch show A is because I need something that has familiarity and is, you know, like slow pace. Yeah, familiarity, predictability, slow pace, you know, absolute minimal violence, something that, you know, whatever, like
minimal
that.
Minimal
brain power while it's still fascinating enough, you know what I mean? So those are a list of needs that, you know, and people may find it crazy, but, like, as neurodivergent people, like, media and things like that and, like, stimulation like that is a big part of getting our nervous system back. Like, sometimes I literally have to take a couple hours where I can't think of the world. Like, I need to just watch something and allow my nervous system to recover. And so, you know, like...
But not sit in your own thoughts.
Yeah, because if you're sitting to your own thoughts, like, you'll literally drive yourself to crazy. Like, for anybody, you know, with autism or even ADHD, I've heard of this still happening. If you've ever experienced, like, semi-catatonic states or catatonic states, like, you are stuck. You just can't function. But sometimes it's, like, it can be hell because your brain is going over and over and over and over again over the issue, but you can't move. You can't do anything. You can't even talk sometimes. Or for me, when I do talk, like, it's very minimal, and then I'm mumbling, and then people get mad at me, and then if I do talk, it literally ends up coming out as, like, me yelling or being loud, because literally the only way I can speak is because I'm having to put so much force into even getting the thought or the idea out without shutting down or crying.
Yep, felt right.
No, I do make sure, you know, like, with my partner, you know, and that I'm communicating things effectively. But there are times where I've had to recognize where I'm like, I can't talk nice right now. I can't talk nice right now. Please just, I can't, because I'll get really overstimulated and I'll start having a meltdown. And when I have a meltdown, like, you really kind of can when you have a meltdown. Like, you can learn how to do, like, the healthy thing, especially if you were never taught that as a child, like, in the sense of how to, like, try to healthfully have a meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Safely.
Yeah, how to safely, you know, have a meltdown. But, you know, it's really hard to be, like, you know, but when you're having a meltdown, you can't just be, like, your normal nurturing self. You can't, because your nervous system is literally, like, feels like it's under attack. And you're deregulated. Like, you're literally in an altered state of consciousness in that moment. And it's something I don't think a lot of people understand. And so that's sometimes, like, I have to tell, you know, partner, like, I can't be nice right now. I can't talk nicely right now because, like, I don't have the filter. I don't have the bandwidth. Like, and so then, you know, and keeping that in mind that I'm going to think. And so I'm just like, please give me a second. Or if we're talking about something and it's important, I'm like, give me a second to get my thoughts together because this will come out totally the wrong way and I'll say things I don't mean because
well,
I'm overstimulated.
Like,
you know,
the question and demands an answer immediately. It's like, whoa. I'm still processing the sounds that your mouth just made.
Literally.
Let alone getting to the solution you're asking for my mouth.
Yeah.
And for my mouth to make it.
So it is, you know, it is a process. But I do feel like barefooting does help with that emotional regulation with meltdown states, leading up to meltdown states, making my emotions more predictable. Because mm-hmm. anytime I've ever had shoes on and had a meltdown, like, it is like World War III.
Yeah.
But I feel like barefooting definitely helps a lot. And then I hate how too as a neurodivergent person, and it's like now I'm like worried that people are misconstruing that I'm like justifying being a crappy person. I'm like, that's not what I'm saying at all. But it's like so unfortunate people that don't actually understand. But yes, and also no, because a lot of people don't understand the neurodivergent experience, and they assume that we're just acting childish or that we're just doing these things on purpose or that we're even aware of them. And it's like, I'm autistic having a meltdown. You really think I'm aware of anything right now other than the things that make me want to lose my mind and jump off a bridge? Because that's what sometimes having a meltdown feels like. And that's the thing people don't realize. And that's why people with autism are at high risk for self-harming and suicide, actually. And it doesn't even have to necessarily do with actually wanting to die. It has to do with meltdown, sensory issues, lack of accessibility in the world, a lack of accommodations, especially when you're already having a meltdown that you just like might as well give up, you know?
Until you're overreacting. Like, I'm not overreacting, I'm reacting.
Yeah. And so it is very, you know, difficult, but if you are one of those people out there struggling
I do recommend giving barefooting a try, you know. It really has helped a lot for me as a neurodivergent person, but I also understand and respect that not everybody who is neurodivergent can barefoot. But people barefoot for a wide variety of reasons. Medical, that can be physical, maybe for their mental health, being neurodivergent, their spiritual health, religious and cultural reasons, and more. I mean, there's so many reasons within each of those reasons I mentioned why people barefoot as well. So please understand that, you know, we're not a monolith, you know, like we're not one size fits all. We're all multifaceted beings. And, you know, the way my body and my mind works may not be the way your body and your mind works. And that is totally fine and valid. As long as we are all respecting each other, respecting each other's needs, respecting each other's boundaries, opinions, perspectives, limitations, whatever, feelings, you know, as long as, and like literally all of our needs, your mental ones, your emotional ones, your physical ones, you know. Unfortunately, we've had a system for too long that just hasn't been respecting these things. Or respecting people and people's bodies and people's minds and people's rights. And it is problematic. And I think that's why we have so much anti-barefooting propaganda is because for so long we've had a system of just through your needs, like, you know, focus on making the big bucks. If you need to unplug the phone charger, you can just put that instead.
This is for my phone. Do you have a phone plugged in?
Yeah, is it for iPhone? Sorry, Audrey's looking for charger.
Oh,
very good. You know, so I feel like the system that we have that is so against barefooting is because there's a system of don't listen to your body, don't listen to your mind, don't listen to your heart, don't listen to yourself. And this is a system of alienation going on, you know? And I think that that's even in a Green Day song, and it's a system of alienation across the nation.
Yeah.
Or did I butcher the lyrics? I don't know. At least
something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Anyway, like, if you want to better yourself, start listening to your needs. Start setting your boundaries, and, you know, boundaries aren't selfish, and, you know, if people want to have a negative connotation of you for barefooting and doing what is best for you, unfortunately, they don't really care about you or really respect you. Like, and I know that sounds, like, really rude and mean, but, like, that's something I've had to realize, that, like, and even with, you know, being neurodivergent, like, for me, like, if I'm not able to keep on certain social demands, even social media is a social demand that I personally just can't keep up with when I'm in a burnout state, and I've been, you know, in an interesting state. I was in a six-month PTSD episode that led to within a autistic burnout. And then the PTSD episode of, like, the long-term one ended, and then I've just been in autistic burnout, constantly combating, like, overstimulation and, you know, the PTSD flare-ups. And so it's, like, it's been rough, but it's, like, been a part of my journey that, like, I'm making peace with because of all the progress I've been able to make. But, like, at the same time, so it's, like, if you're somebody going through the same things, like, focus on you. Like, you can make the progress when you focus on you and you, like, take a step back from the social demands and expectations and everything else from other people, because a lot of things are just social expectations that don't matter. I mean, being expected to wear shoes isn't a social expectation. It's a social construct. It's just a social expectation that doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Like,
the only reasoning is generally because everybody else does it.
Yeah. And really our biggest, like, social expectation really should be respect each other, respect each other's boundaries, respect each other's needs, be working to accommodate and compromise as needed as long as everybody is being heard.
you know, and and I get it, you know, and there is some truth to the fact that really not all opinions are valid, you know, like, but that's not to say that not everybody deserves right, you know, like, some people do have hateful, malicious opinions.
Yeah.
But all people by birth, you know, should have rights. But the only time that we should question and infringe upon those rights is when that person is threatening the autonomy, the well-being, the liberty, and the lives of other people. And that's what hate speech does, you know? So, like, why are we not worried about the hate and worried about the violence in the world and instead are worried about me barefooting? Oh, because this leads back into the story that I was going to tell. And I don't actually know what happened. It's like one of those weird social interactions with barefooting in public. It's been the first time. And what really made me angry, but I didn't, like, but it's also like, screw them, I'm not going to let them change me. And this is, like, the first time I've gone to, a store in, over a month because, my symptoms and being neurodivergent isn't so bad. I get way too overstimulated leaving my house. The weather's been cold, so it's been harder to barefoot when I have the idea of putting shoes on. Makes things 20 times worse, you know, or more at this point. Who knows? More than 20.
Right.
Anywho. But, I just don't even know how to put it into words. Because, you know me, I already struggle with social cues. I've had a lot of friends that are like, I love you, but you're oblivious. Is how I feel. Because first time I'm going into the store, and I was going with a friend, and for me it's not an anxiety issue in the way that other people, you know, have anxiety with, going to stores and not being able to be there. You know, and I understand that some barefooters just have anxiety and because barefooting can help with anxiety, you know, and oh, you're good. Oh, anyway, sorry, I just got started, but I thought you were wiping your eye for a second. So
no, my eyebrow
was itchy. Oh, you're good. I don't know.
Get to your story.
You know, barefooting can help a lot with anxiety, and barefooters can obviously experience a lot of anxiety going into a place, you know. But for me, my issues going into public, a lot of the times they're not anxiety unless I'm already overstimulated, and that's when I'm more prone to anxiety. So for me, they are more so just, overstimulation. So I was I found a date where one of my friends could go, and, you know, with me, it'll be fine. I'll just get what I need from these two different stores right next to each other. Will be good, whatever. I didn't even think about anybody saying anything because I've been in these stores before. You know, it wasn't Dollar General, but, and I've definitely had way more issues with Dollar General, but it was a Family Dollar and didn't have really any issues. People noticed.
But nobody said
customers and employees, but nobody said anything. I didn't even really get a weird vibe or a weird attitude. It was just kind of okay. And I did have one of the older lady employees, at first, and I came in, looking around, and, at first, it seemed like she was, trying to keep an eye on me, but I was I'm not feeling anything, so get over yourself. Because, unfortunately, that's the thing I've noticed, too, is, a lot of people, they see you barefoot, and they assume, you must be a thief.
Yeah. Yep. You're a thief.
And it's even if that were true, you don't make those assumptions about people based on them being barefoot, because at the end of the day, that is discrimination when barefooting is a protected right. You know?
Anyway, so what happened to
not that I'm, you know, doing that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The thing, too, is it's how many people in your store have shoes on that are probably shoplifting right now? You're not even batting an eye because they're wearing shoes.
Yeah.
That's kind of my point.
Shoes make the honest person, right?
Yeah.
So what happened at the second store?
Okay, so, it was kind of fine. At one point, there are times where I'll notice, certain customers especially will kind of, notice and, whatever, look at me and it's okay, get over yourself, right?
Right.
And so, like, I mean, there was, like, one or two of those, but then it was mostly just people that, you know, and even the people that were, like, looking and definitely making it obvious, they're like, like, they weren't being loud, they didn't say anything, it's not like they did anything, you know, to me or towards me, so I just, it was kind of like, whatever, the basics, you know,
yeah.
Like, no interaction, but definitely acknowledgement, but most of the people that acknowledged it, like, didn't really seem to think much about it, think twice about it. So, like, when I'm going up to register, I'm not thinking anything of anything, right?
Right.
You know, I'm just here, and I'm with my friends. And so, as a neurodivergent person, sometimes I really do struggle, and I'm going to explain this in the story because it does make sense, but I also feel like it sheds light on neurodivergent people. I can really struggle with talking to, like, people at the register or, like, cashiers, and it's just hard because I never know what to say, or sometimes my brain freezes, or sometimes I'm mentally a little bit slower, I'll be honest. And
yeah.
In a lot of places nowadays, especially with, like, the go consumerism, it's, like, in and out. Like, I go to the gas station and turn it up, you know, unfortunately, being a nicotine smoker, not that I encourage it, I don't, but even just going up to the counter to ask, because you have to ask them for those kind of products, you know, like, behind the counter, that, like, and it's, like, even then, they're acting all impatient and rude and won't let you get your thing out, like, what you got to say, even, and I'm just, like, dude, show, or they just want to make assumptions, they go straight to reaching for stuff, I'm, like, that's not what I said, you know,
right.
Where it's, and that's not every employee ever, but you know what I mean, like, there are a lot of people that are just, like, go, rush, and I'm, like, I get it. I respect moving quickly. Like, I mean, I'm talking quickly now, I think, at least enough. But, like, give me the time. Because, like, I feel like even then, if I pay in cash, it's like, or even if I pay card, it's like, they don't even give me enough time to put stuff in your wallet. And I am
right.
Also someone that has a cane. So it's like, give me a second, you know?
Yeah.
And, so, like, I can struggle with talking to cashiers. I can be really awkward, not knowing what to say. Sometimes I might either talk too much or I say too little or... It's just hard sometimes even know what's going on because it's, like, a whole different type of social cues. And, you know, and so I was going to register and I saw these lighters that are, like, really cheap. It was, like, 3 for, like, less than $1, I think, or about $1. They're in a pack, and it's a neon. And I was, like, at first I was, like, oh, is neon, is that safe, like, neon lighters? And I'm about to look it up right now just to be quick quick, because it's just a basic question, but I'm pretty sure neon is actually non-toxic, but fun fact that I found out through my, it's generally non-toxic at normal temperature and pressure. This gas also poses no harm to the environment. And because it's chemically unreactive and forms no compound, it's unlikely to cause a damaging impact at all. Okay, so that's on whether or not neon can kill you, you know. And, like, literally,
okay.
What the site is called. But that's the answer they gave, or that's what the, you know.
Gotcha.
Anyway, but I just looked it up again real quick. So I was looking up the astronomy stuff and then found out that, like, there are planets that just, like, that, you know, have a bunch of neon. And that neon is actually one of the most abundant components in our universe, which, yeah, it sounds made up, right? And this does have to do with the story because
it's weird
here because so I already have put stuff on the conveyor belt. He's already scanning it. It's already, like, you know, some guy looks like he's, like, around anywhere between 18-23, you know, a young person like me,
right?
I'm, you know, and so I'm, like, talking to my friend, and I was, like, you know, putting the lighters up there, and I was, like, well, actually, neon is, you know, like, non-toxic when I was looking it up, and I think about it, and, like, it's one of the most abundant in the universe, and I, like, you know, I was reading some astronomy stuff that, like, led me to that, and so I was, like, going out and reading that, and so the guy is still, like, you know, scanning my stuff, and eventually, and then, like, right after that, he tells me the score, and, or the score, wow, the total, and, you know, I'm, you know, kind of still talking to my friend, but I'm like, okay, and then, like, you know, put my card in, whatever. And then this other random employee that probably is a manager, though, by the way that they were dressed, comes up behind the guy and goes, what is she talking about? I swear that's what he said. And I was like, and also, and what sucks about being neurodivergent and being like hyper vigilant to noises or whatever is like, I hear everything.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is because, and I feel like people know I'm neurodivergent right away, because studies have shown that an allistic or neurotypical person can spot a neurodivergent person in less than 2 minutes. The problem is they mislabel that person or their trait as just being weird or socially inappropriate or delinquent, devious, whatever, when really that person is neurodivergent.
Yeah.
And so people, I think, also assume, too, when they see a barefoot person talking about neon in the universe and things like that, they're thinking that I'm just insane and that I'm not even, they also probably think I'm not listening. And he did say it quietly where it was almost like a whisper, but I swear I was like, and my friend, you know, she didn't even notice at all. Like, she's just like, oh, that's really cool, like what I was talking about. And, like, and the thing, too, is, like, the cashier didn't even acknowledge me anyway when I was coming up. You know what
right.
I mean? And it's, like, it's so hard with, like, the social cues of these settings. It's because if you act the basic, like, oh, we're just here, we're interacting, like, whatever. Because if I act too friendly, people are just like, But then if you don't even, and it's like, I guess if you're not friendly enough as a woman, maybe there's a problem with that. So I don't know. It didn't even seem like it had anything to do with the fact that I wasn't, like, you know, being super talkative with the guy. Like, I mean, it wasn't like I ignored him or acknowledged him. And I was like, okay, thank you. Like, you know, he's being polite, as they should. But, like, his manager comes up behind, oh, and there's more to this story.
Yeah.
So, but it's like, I'm still trying to make sense of it because it was so weird.
Yeah.
What is she talking about? I don't know. Something about neon. Yeah, you scan my neon lighters. Like, and I'm talking to my friend and, like, also, like, okay. And there, and I don't know. He's like, oh, no. And then I'm like, and then, you know, he's like, I don't even think he told me to have a good day or anything. Like, the cashier. And so I was like, okay, you have a great one. He was like, yeah, yeah, you too. And this is after I'm already having to be the one to switch the carts around. Oh, man, whatever, I wasn't getting that. And I'm like, it'd be funny if this person was listening. Maybe I'm just raging, you know what, and completely misread the situation.
I mean,
but I swear to God, this is what happened. Even I almost don't believe it happened.
Right.
Because, so, get the cart. And then there's, like, these boxes. And then I, you know, and, like, and my friend's like, oh, like, because we don't have bags here. And,
right.
And so my friend's like, well, you can take one of the boxes and make it easier for us to carry stuff in the house. And I was like, oh, well, like, somebody else needs boxes. And she's like, well, you need the boxes, too. Like, having this whole conversation. And I'm already noticing that some of the employees in mine are still looking at us, kind of still watching us, even though the guy is ringing up the next person.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever, get the stuff in the box, and, like, if you want, I'm still going to take the car, so we can carry it, because, like, for me, I'd be like, you know, I've got my cane, me and my friend both got our wallets, they're big wallets, and, like, you know, just girl things, I guess, like, my wallet's so big, and then they don't always have a handle, like, they really, all wallets should be, like, hand purses, right?
Yeah.
And so we take the cart out, and I don't know if it offended them that we took a box and the cart out, and where I parked was in between the two shops. And so there's a sign about it, like, and there was a cart thing right by me, but it had a sign, like, you know, taking it back to the store, which I noticed, and I was like, thinking, like, oh, I'll do that, or I'll put it in the actual cart rack for this place, because the cart rack was actually for the other place that they had assigned to just take it to the store for the Family Dollar and then the other grocery store. Keep in mind, I am, like, as parked about as far as you can get away from this grocery store as you can get. Now, I don't know if he came out to get the cart because I was parked so far away and he wanted to be nice because I had a cane. But his attitude did not give me that energy when the manager came out. He never actually said anything to me other than, oh, I was going to take your cart. Literally, I mean, and I'm not even kidding. Like, he's getting to my car while I'm unloading my single box. So, like, he literally, it was, like, and left the store about as soon as I did. Probably counted 4 seconds, maybe, and then followed after me, and
that's
my friend came up, like, literally, like, right beside my car, like, And I saw them before, I think he even realized I saw them, because again, being nerd, I saw the corner of my eye, and I was like, huh. And I think he could tell from the way I hardened my face that I was kind of ready for anything, that I was being really polite. But he was like, oh, I was just going to take your cart back. Because I immediately had this whole, like, I put this look on my face, like, I'll be nice, but don't even try me right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, bye, thank you. And then he was just still being, like, really weird. But it was like, he literally just stopped. Like, it wasn't even, like, while he was walking to me. He said, hey, I'm coming to take your cart, like, you know, in a nice way. It was like he looked at me like, I'm coming to take your cart. And, like, he waited till he was, like, stopped right at my cart. Like, and I'm like, okay, thank you. Like, it was so weird. And, like, and then I was like, okay, and I, like, tried to smile. But there were no other cars in the parking lot. He didn't talk to any other strangers. And it's like, and that's even a lie that there weren't any other carts in the parking lot, because I'm pretty sure I saw a different lady with the cart who was unloading her groceries. Did he wait on her? No. But your issue is that, what, I'm barefoot in a store, and I was talking about how neon is one of the most abundant components in the universe, which is actually true.
Or weird.
Yeah, no, and it was like, and looking back, like, I don't even, and it's hard, because I'm not really good at social cues, and I'm not really good at body language, because to me, I'll be like, oh, that was weird, and then other people will be like, well, this is what that meant, this is what that meant, and of course, I'm with one of my other friends who's also not the best with social cues, but we were both like, yeah, that was not normal. Like, we don't even know exactly what happened, but we were like, that
the
is not normal.
Manager of pulling you out for your cart, that's weird.
Yeah, like, when does that happen ever? I don't care how small your grocery store is. He never said anything to me about being barefoot. No, but, like, literally, the way that they were just kind of going about me was, like, acting as if I was on drugs. Like, and that's why he followed me out in the car, to see.
Rude.
Like, I just, I don't understand. Well, and then the other thing that sketched me out is what if he's looking for my license plate number? What if he's going to report me for being on drugs when I'm not on drugs?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I literally don't know. And it's like, I'm not trying to breathe fear, because part of me is like, what the, you know what? We shouldn't be having to deal with this, and I shouldn't even be afraid of that being a possibility.
Yeah.
Because what happens then?
That's insane.
Because at that point, it's some crazy barefoot 20-year-old with a cane that probably doesn't even actually need it. They're probably just some lazy drunk and just hippie. Because I've had people act like, oh, you just need it for your balance because you're on something, right? Like, I've had people make those assumptions. And I'm like, what the? You know what and what and what? Uh-huh. What? Like, there's some things that could be said here. Like,
and you just said it all.
Yeah, like, without trying to say it all, you know, that whole, like...
Look at him.
Ugh. It's dehumanizing,
yeah.
Really. And even, and I'm going to be honest, even if someone, and I'm not saying that I'm, like, pro-drugs or anything, but just stop. Just stop. Even if a person is on drugs, like, instead of being judgmental or, like, attacking, maybe instead be like, oh, this person needs help.
Yeah.
You know? Because addiction is an issue. Unfortunately, things are laced even at times where somebody, you know, maybe thinking they're getting something else and then end up on something they don't want to be.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I don't know.
You guys didn't
run
an ad break today.
Oh, yeah, we didn't run any ad breaks, dude. My brain has been so dead. We also did start later, so we didn't have as much time. Sorry it's been chaotic, guys. And I just realized we've had a hand up. I'm sorry, caller. It's been a day. It's been a week. It's been some issues.
It's been even a year.
Yeah, it's really been a lot of things. But I just want to remind people that you do have rights, and your rights matter, and if you're a jerk that wants to just harass people for not wearing shoes, please get help, honestly. Get help. get help.
Yeah.
Get help, because I feel like there's got to be something like mentally wrong or emotionally wrong here if you really feel the need for such. Stop harassing people. Stop following people to their cars, like, ever. Just don't follow anybody to their car ever unless, like, they give you verbal permission.
Yeah.
And consent. Like, because first of all, creepy. Like, you know what I mean? I don't even care what your reason is. Following anybody out of a store to their car feels like it should be illegal. You know what I mean? To me, I don't care if you're a store employee. Unless I am threatening someone's safety or there's, like, an actual legitimate risk to my safety, because I was talking. The only reason why I was talking unnormal was because I was talking like a neurodivergent person. I wasn't talking like a person on drugs. I wasn't hurting anyone. I wasn't affecting or risking or any kind of anybody's safety. I wasn't...
That's your definition of normal.
Yeah. I mean, like, I literally wasn't doing anything other than getting my stuff. And leave people alone is all I can really say. Just leave people alone.
They definitely weren't being kind or helping when they came, but they were being a jerk.
And then it's like, I don't even want to be a jerk. It's like, oh, part of me is like, oh, maybe they just came out to get the cart. Who does that? Who actually does that? Let's be real.
Not being a jerk.
Yeah. Like, who actually does that? And why would, and then if he was even just going to take my cart, why would if he had felt the need to make the comment about what am I talking about? The employee.
Yeah. That's just
rude. And the reason why I'm upset isn't even about myself, really, at the end of the day. Because it's like, to me, I was kind of like, whatever. But then when I started talking about it now I'm actually angry. Because what angers me is, to me, that didn't really bother me. You know what I mean? Even if it made me a little, like, angry now. Like I said earlier, anger is a tool. Anger has a purpose. Anger tells us that there is an injustice here and that we need to set a boundary or do something about it. And why I'm angry is because I am nowhere near the only person experiencing this. And I've gotten to the point where it's like, I have a thick skin, whatever. I've accepted that I'm neurodivergent and we're social outcasts. I have been... I have been from a very young age, and I've accepted that. I've accepted I'm your pariah. And you know what? I don't want to be one of you. I don't. I'd rather be a pariah in a world of people that don't respect each other than be a part of that, you know? And it's hard because we can all struggle, you know? Like, with the upbringing that I had, I felt like I really had a lack of understanding in some ways with fully respecting people and their autonomy and, you know, when I was younger, I, you know, but that's what trauma does. You know what I mean? When you've had certain things taken from you, you don't realize how important they are. You can understand they're not right, but you don't fully understand how that learning and view from a child and from an upbringing perspective, that there's a problem.
Yeah.
But you know there's a problem, but you don't realize how deep the problem is. And so, you know, as an adult, like, you know, and even as a teenager, like, I had to take, you know, do a lot of work, take a lot of accountability for my mental health and take responsibility. And, you know, but that's still not an excuse, you know, and I get that a lot of people are traumatized, a lot more people are traumatized than people want to acknowledge or admit or have ever been validated in our society, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so I get it, and it's hard. And it's rough, but, like, respect people. Get over it. Get over your issues. Get over your vendettas. Get over your mommy and daddy issues. Stop taking it out on other people, you know? Like, and I'm not even trying to be rude when I say that. Like, just stop taking it out on other people. Respect people. And also, if you're somebody that people are doing this to, you deserve to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve that. You deserve to be respected. As long as you are not doing anything to cause harm, injury, or violation of autonomy and boundaries on any level, you deserve respect.
Mm-hmm.
And So, you know, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting, and that's the thing. And that's why I wasn't upset when this person approached me, because I saw him before he even realized that I saw him when walking into my car, and I was like, oh, and I even looked at my friend though, because I just saw he was coming out, and I didn't know what to expect, and I was like, I hope he says something, is all I told her, because I honestly kind of was. So I was like, you know what? I'll go off right now, which as respectfully as possible, I will tell you, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. I am not breaking any laws. No, there is not a store policy against it because it is illegal for your store to have a policy against it.
Yeah.
This is my protected right. I don't even have to tell you or explain to you, but I barefoot because I'm autistic. I barefoot because of my physical health. I barefoot for my mental health and emotional health.
Yeah.
I barefoot form sensory, and you know what? It's not hurting anybody,
right,
and this
right.
is a natural, protected right and accommodation. And if you want to push further, this becomes a legal issue where you are in the wrong. Sorry, we are at the 90-second warning, folks. So, yeah, I hope that what I said there, you can take something from that to you know, apply to other people. But there are no laws or health codes against barefooting, and if you are just a hater for no reason, educate yourself. You can go to Real Barefoot is Legal on Instagram, and in the Linktree bio, there are some links to some resources. I'm putting other ones together. Bear with me. Take some time. You know, I've been regulated, but barefooting is a huge part of getting my nerve system regulated, and it's a huge part of that for a lot of people. So be nice. Be nice. And what do you usually say, Audrey?
Be kind. Help when you can. Don't be a jerk.
Exactly. I think we pretty much hit everything else there. I think we hit everything there, even with just that little help with what you just said.
Yep.
Help when you can.
Be kind. Help when you can.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. And I think the only thing left to say is, you know, keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. Yeah. And we'll see you next week. Stand up for yourself. Don't let yourself be bullied. Know you're right. Love you guys. Keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. Bye-bye.